For years, I've seen how unhappy so many lawyers are. And so the Authentically Speaking business was all about trying to help those lawyers. And I think for me, even within the firm that I was working with, I just wanted to be able to help.
You are listening to You Are a Lawyer. I'm Kyla Denagno, and let's get right into today's episode. So welcome to the You Are a Lawyer podcast. Hannah Becko, how are you today?
Very well, thank you.
When I saw your, you know, your information form come through, I was like, yeah, of course I want to talk to you. You've done so many incredible things. So where are you located?
So I am in the UK, just below Manchester.
Okay. And what's your background? How did you decide to become a lawyer or a barrister? What happened?
Ooh, so I'm a real estate lawyer, and I've done that for 17, 18 years now, which makes me feel really, really old. How I became a lawyer, I was 13 years old in school, and we had these computer systems that you filled out what you were good at and what you liked, and then it threw out what careers you should have. Mine didn't say lawyer, but I didn't like any of the things that it threw out. So basically, I wanted a desk, a briefcase, and a computer. And on that basis, decided to become a lawyer at 13 years old. Didn't have a clue what it involved.
Yeah. But wait a minute. So do you remember what the other options were? Were they like therapist or counselor?
So they were politician or doctor, I remember.
Interesting. And you're like, okay, thanks for the feedback, but I'm not going to do either of those.
No, I'm not. Despite what my life has been like for the last few months, I'm not actually very good with sick people generally. And as I say, I wanted sort of clean. That's why I was thinking desk, computer, briefcase. Politician, you know, I mean, that could have been interesting, but no, not for me.
Okay. All right, cool. So what got you interested in real estate law? Like, I know when you go to law school, you know, you pretty much have all the options in the world. Have you always been interested in property and things like that, or what?
Yes. Yeah. I think I would have always ended up in property. That was always my view, even though I qualified as a litigator. So I did 2 years of litigation in the beginning, but I knew I would always end up in property. So my family are originally from Cambridge in the UK, a big farming family. So my granddad had land and the farm and all that sort of thing. So I think it's funny because even now my mum and I really like a nice garden. You know, if we buy any houses, it's got to have garden. If you look out the window and there's no land, we don't want it. That's not a home for us. So there's always been a thing about, you can imagine farming family has a thing about land. You know, how many cows do you have if you're marrying off a daughter? You know, how much land do you have? So I think it's always been there growing up. And things like my parents always had buy-to-let properties and things like that. So I got my first buy-to-let property when I was about 23. So I had two buy-to-let properties before I even owned a home. So I think I was always going to be in property.
Yeah. Okay. So you got these buy-to-let properties, which is when you own the property and you're basically managing it and you have tenants?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
That sounds really stressful. Did you enjoy that?
I don't really do it anymore. So I had them for, well, so I've still got one, which I will get rid of in the next couple of years, but I've got a very long-term tenant in there. And I got rid of the only other one I had about 6 months ago. So I'd had them for nearly 20 years, but no, with my just a few, it was just far too much stress. And with interest rates and all the crazy things that have happened over the last, you know, well, 10 years plus, really. It's not the business that it was. Unless you have lots and lots of them. So no, I'm coming out of that market. A lot of my clients, that's what they do. I act for a lot of clients, investors and developers in my legal work, but it's not something I want to do personally anymore.
Okay. All right. So what I find so fascinating is that you wear many hats because you do a lot of different things. You're running three businesses right now?
Probably, yes. You could be two or three, depending on how you look at it. Yes.
Okay. And what are those? Can you share a little bit of detail?
Yep. So I've been self-employed as a property lawyer since 2012. So I guess that's business one, if you like. That's the first time I left sort of big law and set up on my own as a consultant. So that's my longest business, if you like. And I still do a bit of that. As I say, I've got some investor and developer clients, and I still do a bit of that work now to keep my hand in, as it were, and look after those clients. And then I set up the next business, which is called Authentically Speaking, to train and coach lawyers in 2016. So I've been doing that for a few years now. And then almost 2 years ago, I became co-director of a small law firm. So that is, if you like, the third business. And I'm one of three directors in that business as well. So, yes, I own and manage a small firm as well.
Yeah. So let's talk about the small firm and then we'll get to Authentically Speaking. What is it like as a co-manager? Is that, you know, very high level? You're just looking at the operations of it, or what does that entail?
So when I originally joined them, I was coming in to do sort of training, business coaching for those people who wanted it, who wanted to sort of grow their businesses and that sort of thing, be involved in the recruitment, the sort of growing of the business. It's been an interesting journey. There's been a lot of changes in the business, even in the couple of years that I've been in it. It looks different to what I think we all expected as owners, but it's really exciting because there's a lot of, in many ways, the business has had to reinvent itself a number of times, even before I became involved in it. And it feels like we're on the cusp of sort of another reinvention now. So it is a really exciting time where we're bringing in new people. You know, that's the really great thing for me, is being able to meet great lawyers. And this is why I wanted the opportunity actually to become an owner and a manager, because it's not something I ever wanted. You know, I wasn't a baby lawyer saying I want to become an equity partner and own my own firm. That was never anything that I wanted to do. But actually, when I was offered the opportunity to see great lawyers and see their potential, which maybe their firms are not seeing in them, and to bring them in and look after them and help them develop, that's what really brought me to this role. So the ability to do that is fantastic. That's what I really like about it.
And so what really excites me about what you're saying is that you didn't see yourself in this role and now you're doing it, which I love. How did you give yourself permission to kind of change or to take on a challenge that you had never anticipated?
I was looking for a new place to call home, if you like. So a new place to call home for my property work, but also where I could be more involved with the people. For years, and it's the reason Authentically Speaking started, for years I've seen how unhappy so many lawyers are. And so the Authentically Speaking business was all about trying to help those lawyers. And I think for me, even within the firm that I was working with, I just wanted to be able to help more. It's one thing to help as many lawyers as I can, sort of outside my own firm, but within my own firm to be able to help people is something different. And so in a way, I'd spent, you know, a couple of years probably on the lookout for the right thing where I could make a difference. And so when this came along, it was the right thing to do.
Okay, I love that. So, Authentically Speaking, you are training, you're doing public speaking, and then you're also coaching. What, like, I love it. What gets you so excited about all of those, right? Because I think that lawyers, many of us are naturally public speakers. We're really comfortable with sharing because, you know, you're advocating for yourself and your own ideas. Which of those three do you absolutely love, or do you love them all equally, or let's talk about it.
So I love speaking, and that isn't something I always knew. It's something I'd known as a young child, but then I'd forgotten as I joined the world and got older. But when I sort of had my, if you like, I don't know, crisis moment, epiphany moment, maybe we all have one or two of them in life, and I looked at what I was doing and my stress levels and asked myself, what do I actually want to spend time doing? Speaking was the thing that came out. And so that's when I sort of started dipping my toe in the water, just talking to small groups of people about things that I was passionate about. And what that evolved into quite easily was particularly women lawyers. There was a lot going on sort of 2017, 2018, 2019, but before lockdown, really, a lot of events that were for women lawyers and talking about gender pay gap and, you know, the leadership gap at the top and why women were leaving law at 8 to 10 years qualified and things like that. So a lot of events sort of evolved into talking about those things, which I was really passionate about because I am one of those women. I thought about leaving so many times when I had a family. And so it naturally sort of evolved into talking about those things that I was really passionate about, which I loved. And then so I love doing it. You know, I will stand up and talk to anybody about anything because I just love doing it. But what the second part of it that I really love is the ability to help people make change. You know, so many, as I've said, so many unhappy lawyers out there, but they don't think they have any other option. They think this is how it has to be. I've accepted this. There's nothing else I could do. There's no other way to do it. So I have to accept that I'm just never going to be very happy. And actually to be able to, within a talk, a workshop or whatever, to have people realize that actually it could be a little bit different and it could be better is just fantastic. It's not like work.
Yeah. I love that. When I was younger, I remember all of my, you know, reports when I was in secondary school. Kyla's fantastic. You know, she does her work, but she will not stop talking. She will talk to the wall. And I was like, yeah, I would. Yeah. I've always been a storyteller. I've always been a writer. I've always been the person that's like, how was your day? Oh, well, first we did this. And then I had this for lunch. And then I shared my this. And my mom's like, I just wanted you to say good. Right? I didn't want the whole rundown.
Yeah. My reports were the same. My reports were the same. Yeah. Hannah's very good if she'd stop talking. So yes, now it's interesting with my son when I sit down and they say, oh yes, he's doing really well if he could stop talking. I'm like, let him do a little bit of talking, please. It'll be good for his future.
It'll be good for him. And plus he gets it, honestly, he gets it from you. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
So being a paid speaker and a public speaker is one aspect, but also usually when you're a really good storyteller, you're a really good teacher and trainer, right? And so your transition to also helping other women lawyers, did you enjoy the training piece of it? Is it like recorded trainings that you have, or is the public speaking tied in with trainings where you go out and you train the younger lawyers?
So all of those things. Okay. I do have some recorded courses, and I do sort of do live ones with recorded elements and all those sorts of things. But yeah, my favorite is to get up in a room, definitely, without a doubt, is to go and do the training. And I think this is why the coaching works really well for me with it. Because when I am doing training, it's a bit different with the speaking, although I do try and have a lot of interaction even with speaking. It just depends, you know, how long you're there for and all that sort of thing. But with the training, I can bring in the coaching. Because as you can imagine, you know what us lawyers are like. The minute you suggest something confronting to them, it's no, that's not possible. I couldn't possibly do that, you know. When actually the coaching part is then, well, okay, let's look at that. You know, why do you say that? Is it true? You know, is there a way this could work for you? And that's what I really like. It's not sort of standing up there just lecturing. And telling them things that they could get from YouTube and they could get from a recorded webinar and all that sort of thing. That's the difference for me, is the lived experience and put this into practice, not just for me, but for thousands of other lawyers that this works for. And to, as you say, tell the story in a way that they listen, but also to be able to make it work in their life individually. That's the powerful bit for me.
Yeah. So I'm listening to you and I'm like, I'm seeing how they all like interact seamlessly, right? You're speaking, you're training. So you're speaking to other people by training. You have the recorded videos, which you had to speak on when you recorded those. But then if you want a deeper level or a deep dive, you can then come and participate in the coaching. And that's when I'll actually walk you through all of the other stuff. I love it. Okay, cool. So the title of your company, Authentically Speaking, where did that come from? Or was it like a fantastic marketing person who was like, I think this is what you're doing?
Oh, I'd love to tell you it was. Wouldn't that be a good story? No. In fact, one of my first business mentors who was a lawyer herself hated it. She tried so hard to talk me out of it. She said, what on earth is authentically speaking? How are lawyers going to know, or law firms going to know what they're buying? And, you know, if I was starting again, maybe I wouldn't do it now, but you know, it's six, seven, 8 years old now, and people know what it is, and so much has spun off it. But at the time, where it came from was it was my journey to find my authentic voice, which had been silenced through bullying and things like that at school. And so I'd gone on my journey to find out who I was authentically. And that was so powerful. Like, people thought I was good before, but then to bring that in, it was like this explosion that was always there, but I'd kept a lid on it, you know, a lawyer lid on it. And so for me, it was a combination of me finding my authentic voice, but then taking that out to help other people do the same thing, to be more authentic at work, which I know has become a big buzz phrase now. Everybody says it, but, you know, 8 years ago, not everybody was saying it, but I was saying it, you know, be your authentic self at work. It's not that simple. I know that, and I have whole bits behind that, but that's the principle is, you know, let's improve our mental health, well-being, happiness, but also how good we are, how good we are with clients, with our team members, with everybody else. When we're more ourselves.
Yeah. And, you know, even though it is such a buzzword now, authentically and being authentic looks different in different environments. You know, when you're a newer lawyer, authenticity might look like being honest about your workload and being overwhelmed or asking for additional projects. And then when you're 8 and 10 years into your legal career, being authentic looks completely different. So I think I still like the title.
thank you. Yeah, it's I think it works. It does. It starts conversations now, at least. As I say, it wasn't being talked about before, but it is now.
But no, so we were talking about the title of your business. My business is actually called Skip the Boring Stuff, and people were like, well, what does it mean? And I'm like, anything that's boring, give it all to me, right? Take all of your boring stuff with podcasting and creating and put it onto my plate, and you're fine. And so I'm hoping that the name sticks, similar to like how yours is stuck. And 18 years later, it's just like, that's the brand. Now this is just the brand. Just deal with it. So,
yeah. No, I think you're right. There's one thing you can do at the beginning is, you know, that's what they'd said to me. Do what it says on the tin, like call it coaching for lawyers. It's right. Like, nah.
I mean, this is a compliment. You've been a rebel your whole life, even to when you took that quiz and was like, I'm going to do something else. So,
yeah,
of course.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, it really is speaking authentically, even about yourself, right? Because you're like, I'll take in your guidance, I'll take in your counsel, but then I also want to do the thing that I really believe in. And that's advocating for yourself. And a lot of people can't do that. So that's definitely a strength.
I think so. It comes down to the whole issue that I find most fascinating about working with lawyers is that they actually often have a lot of low self-esteem and low confidence. And, you know, the outside world would be like, what are you talking about? You know, watch Suits, watch all these. They're full of confidence. I mean, no, that's not the reality. Not for most.
No, it's very true. Even if it does end up being your reality, you still didn't have very much preparation for that. Because I worked in a big law firm where we had the fresh flowers and the $1,000 suits, just like the show Suits. And it still wasn't the same, right? It just still wasn't. So your legal career is what you make it. And if you need help with that, that's when you reach out to a coach and someone like you that can help a lawyer learn how to speak authentically. So I love it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. Because when I hit that point of sort of almost burnout, chronic stress, can I do this anymore? There was nobody in law that you could go to. You know, I had to go outside law to other business owners, business groups, find business mentors, business coaches, because there just wasn't anything at the time in legal. And so that's why I thought, well, you know, there's clearly a gap there.
Yeah. And so do you work with lawyers only in Europe or in the UK, or will you work with international lawyers as well?
No, I do some training and coaching internationally. I have done some speaking internationally, which is very exciting as well. Yeah. But yes, it certainly seems to be a universal issue. The stress, the burnout, the overwhelm, all that sort of thing is pretty much universal in most countries for lawyers.
Okay. All right, great. So, Hannah, would you tell the audience where they can find you, whether or not you're on social media, all of that good stuff?
Absolutely. So I'm very much on LinkedIn, or normally very much on LinkedIn. Absolutely my favorite platform. So very much you can find me on there. And also I have a website, authenticallyspeaking.co.uk. And my book, The Authentic Lawyer, is on Amazon. So any of those places.
Yes. And we didn't talk about that. I'm so sorry. Tell me more about the book. Did that come from like a collection of blogs that you put together, or you sat down and was like, I'm writing a book based off of the things that I needed when I was going through this?
That's exactly it. 6 years in the making, 3 years in the writing. It was so many people would say to me, how did you change it all? You know, you went from one business, two kids, almost burnt out, panic attacks, to three businesses, three kids, and you work less and you love it. I'm like, it's in that book.
Okay, I gotta buy the book. Wait, hold on. I love this. No, but seriously, I do book reviews. And I do nonfiction and fiction books. So I will read it. Trust me. And we will do a review because I'm always looking to learn from other people. And that is one of the ways that I speak authentically, because when I graduated from law school, I was the expert. I know everything. I'm done learning. I just did intense studying for 3 years on top of my prior university. I'm done. And it took me about 3.5 years to realize I knew nothing. And from there, I've been able to like completely grow and change my entire life, because I had to tell myself, okay, you may be an expert in studying law, but that still doesn't make you an expert in being a lawyer. It doesn't make you an expert in pretty much anything.
Jill, I absolutely love that. And you're right. That's when I know whether people are going to listen or not as to whether they are open to that. Because I think you do come across still so many lawyers who do think they know it all, whether it's about how to be a great leader and manager, although their team might disagree, or you know, how to manage stress or not manage stress. And I think it's when we're open to listening and learning that we really grow. Yeah. And yeah, so it's those people that do come and work with me, is those that are open to that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This recording now is for season 10 of the podcast. And I'll tell you, I had to talk to about maybe 12 lawyers who were also coaches before like the bug got in my ear. And I was like, coaching? Okay, I have a therapist, but how could coaching help me, right? I'm listening to these lawyers and they're like, oh, I'm a coach and I do this. And I'm like, okay. And let me tell you, I signed up for my first coach. I had four before the year was out, because I was like, oh my goodness, such an elevator. I was like, how had I missed this? Like, now I am the biggest fan of coaching. So
I couldn't agree with you more. I it was actually a therapist. He wasn't a very good one, that told me about life coaching. I had no idea. So I was with her because I was a bit, you know, chronic stress, burnout, panic attacks, thought better go and see a therapist. And I think it was in my second session with her. She said, oh, I'm also training to be a life coach. I was like, ooh, now that sounds like what I need. Not you, but somebody else. So I'm still grateful to her for that, because I'd never heard of it.
Yeah, thanks for the motivation. Yeah.
That's what I need, not just to sit here crying and saying everything that's gone wrong. I want to think about the future and how to do things differently. And yeah, as you say, once you've gone to that place, it's addictive.
It is. And it's fascinating, because you can learn from anyone who has done whatever you're about to do that's new, right? Like, I had a business coach when I started my business, because I was like, okay, I know to get these legal things done, but what's next? And then I had a coach from there who would help me scale. Okay, you got two clients, but how do you go to 10? Because that's a different level, right? Like, there's literally coaches for everything. It's amazing. I love it. Okay, great, 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 great. So, Hannah, I do want to say my last question to you, and I ask every guest this: what would you say to new lawyers, 5 years practicing or less, and law students about what they can do with their law degrees?
What they can do with them? Wow. There is so much scope these days that there wasn't. We didn't think there was when I qualified 20 plus years ago. So absolutely anything. But yeah, think outside the box. Look at what they have nowadays that we didn't have is things like LinkedIn, YouTube, social media. Go and see, you know, what you're doing, what all the people you interview on your podcast are doing. There's so many people that they can learn from. And even if they start off working in law, they might decide to change, or they might decide to do it like I do, alongside other things. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. But, you know, there is training, there is teaching, there is coaching, there's mentoring. And that's just some of it.
Yeah.
There's so much they can do. Yeah.
I love that. So what you can do with your law degree is realize there's still so much you got to learn. That's step one.
Yeah.
And then from there, you can literally do anything.
Yeah, there's so many doors open. And I think people don't realize that. They think they're stuck on one path and they're not. And it also doesn't have to be one path or the other. It can be a bit of that path and a bit of something else.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much, Hannah. This has been phenomenal. And I know the audience is going to really enjoy it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Have a great rest of the day. Bye.
Thank you, Angie.
Thank you for listening to You Are a Lawyer. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend and leave a rating of this podcast. New episodes are released every week. So keep taking risks in your legal career, and I will talk to you on the next episode. Bye.